everyone. Welcome to episode 16 of Mama Never Told Us. I'm Lisa.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jen.
And I'm Amy.
How are you ladies doing today?
Tired.
Good. Oh.
Tired,
well,
Jen?
Good, but tired.
Good and tired.
How are you, Lisa?
It's been busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get, I have that surgery next week, so I'm trying to get so much done.
Right.
Right now that it's like just crazy.
How's it going? Are you like getting there?
I think so. I don't know. I'll see next
You'll
Thursday.
Find out.
Yeah.
When Thursday comes and I'm like, fuck. Yeah.
I've never had surgery.
You're missing out, Jen.
I should knock on wood. I'm going to use the fucking hospital next week now.
Way to go.
The drugs they use are awesome. I love surgical drugs. I am such a fan.
Are you sure you need the surgery, Lisa, or
you know
for
what?
The drugs?
I did want to, speaking of drugs, I did want to start a new thing.
Okay.
Dispensary corner, dispensary corner. Get you high.
Oh, I think you have been to the dispensary corner, haven't you?
I was on Wednesday. I went to two.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because the first one I went to, they were like, I was in line. Like, it was a short line because they hadn't opened yet. And the guy comes up, you know, and stands next to me. He's like, oh, isn't the weather great? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And he says, I love Wednesdays because it's medical patient only day here.
Oh.
And I'm like, fucking hell.
Put that on your goddamn website.
I know. So I went home and looked up another one and went there and waited and for, because they opened an hour later. And literally in and out like 10 minutes.
No fucking way.
Nice.
And everyone was amazing. Like, the staff was so wonderful. And I was standing there waiting for my car. And one guy is like, I'm going to go check on her and see if she's okay. He comes over. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just waiting for my car. Because the police have made it so you can't park anywhere on the street.
Oh.
Oh.
So everyone's like parking really far away and walking. Or the business next to them, if you go park in their lot and go inside, you give the lady $2, they'll let you park. But I don't know if she's making bank off of this or if the company is.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. And I'm sure she's making bank off of it, and good for her.
I know. I was like, you guys are brilliant.
Okay, so I'm just blown. Okay, so what time of the day was this? And was it a weekday?
It was Wednesday.
Okay.
The first one was 10 a.m. and I was like sixth in line. It was supposed to open around 10 and I was there a little early. And then the next one opened at 11 and I got there at 10 to 11. And they had a separate entrance for medical patients.
Okay.
And then recreational. And I was probably 12th in line, and we all went in, and everyone, you know, like, they hand out menus, and you go up to little teller windows that are enclosed for safety for them, and you can ask questions. Everyone was amazing, and I got a lot of good edibles and have been very, very happy this week.
So probably the surrounding neighborhood that you usually wait at bus stops in, probably all of them are feeling the difference since you have visited the dispensary, I'm assuming.
I haven't been out since after I got back on Wednesday because I've been like crazy.
Stoned?
Busy.
Oh.
Well, I have been stoned. Like last night, I was here by myself laughing my ass off. So...
Do you know what triggered it?
I was watching a guy on Twitch play a game, and it's a hysterical game and stuff. But I was laughing so hard, I thought I would pee. And I was like, why am I laughing so hard? And then I remembered I was high.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm glad. And that's probably given you a little bit of relief for all the pain and stuff.
Right.
It's helped a little bit.
What about sleeping?
No, I've been sleeping pretty well these last two nights.
See?
Oh, good.
That's so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Good.
But also, we got a letter sent to my house, which was scared me at first, from yes. Grief Burrito, because it had no return address. And I was like, oh, someone sent me anthrax. And because I could
let
feel
me open
through
it. And you were so high. You're like, oh, it's so cool.
No, I wasn't high because I just, I hadn't tried anything yet. And I opened it because I was like, well, what the hell, you know?
What do I got to lose?
And it was from them. They sent some stickers and pins. And the letter was folded. And it was sent to Lady Lisa Scott, as it should be.
Oh, my God. Wow. They know you.
And it says, Gardy Lou! On the outside. And on the inside, it says, Dearest Lady Lisa of House Scott.
Oh, my God.
I hope this letter findeth ye well. Carrier pigeons seem a little off kilter of late. Thank you for supporting the Grief Burrito Show. You have no idea how grateful we are. I hope you like the stickers and badges. We enclosed extras because the best ones got lost. Stay spicy and tell the Scott sisters we said hi.
Oh, my God.
They are so
it.
Awesome. They're so funny.
Awesome.
I know. Love always the Burrito Boys.
Such a great podcast.
Oh, I know.
That is awesome.
Thank you, Grief Burrito. Thanks for listening, too.
I have to do a what the fuck.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? So, Monday? Monday, yes. I had to go for pre-op testing at the hospital I'm being operated on, of course.
And, oh, wow. It's going to be weird. This is going to be fun tonight.
Strange.
I know. So I went in and I'm going to put a picture up on Instagram and Twitter of how I go out right now.
Oh, good.
With a mask and gloves and everything, because I can't get sick. Now, this isn't just coronavirus. I cannot have anything postpone this surgery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I go up to the post-op place and register, whatever. I keep my gloves on and my mask on and do whatever you have to, you know. I'm like, they give me a pen to fill out forms and I'm like, oh my God, like,
ew, germs.
I know. So I go and sit down and I'm waiting, and the area I have to wait in, there's one guy across the way from me and me. This couple come in and sit directly next to me. And I'm like, why?
Because you're magnetic, Lisa. Everybody just wants to be near you.
That's true. I can see it. But I was all like masked and gloved up, like, like.
See, I feel like I would go on the opposite side.
I know, right?
Someone who looked like that. Yeah.
So this lady coughs.
I was gonna say, maybe they saw it as a challenge. They're like, hey.
And she covers her mouth, and then she starts coughing and not covering her mouth. Now, yes, I am like covered up, but still. So I get up and move.
Yeah.
And she's giving me a dirty look, like I did something wrong. And I'm like, bitch, like I want to say this, like, seriously, bitch, you're coughing out in a room where everyone's here for pre-op testing.
Mm-hmm.
No one can get sick right now.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's amazing how people don't think of other people.
No, and that's my thing. Like, rudeness is a ripple in a stream. This is like, you are standing in the middle of a stream, you, any rude person. When you do something rude, it ripples out and affects others. You're not in a vacuum, you fuckers. So then I have to go up downstairs, wherever, to a different floor.
Upstairs and downstairs.
Well, I go in, I get do my pre-op testing. While I'm in the office, I take my gloves off, and I am like literally constantly using the Purell. Like I am like coating myself.
I am like it over your head, like under your armpits,
like bathing in it. And then I put my gloves back on, and as I'm waiting, I'm like, oh, I need to do it again. So I take my gloves off and do it again, whatever. So then I have to go to the next for an appointment with the next specialist. And I'm waiting there, and I'm in a back corner as far away from people as I can be with my mask and gloves on. And I have to fill out a forms again. And I'm like, oh, like the clipboard.
Start bringing
the
own pen. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. And there's this guy like sniffing and sniffing and sniffing. And I'm thinking, there are Kleenex right there. Like, do I have to mother everybody in the world?
Blow your nose, son. Blow it.
So he finishes his forms. He gets up to go like to the bathroom. So I'm thinking, he's going to blow his nose. No, he does not. He just sits and sniffs. And I was like, do I take the Kleenex box over to him and just be like, please, for the sake of everyone, blow it and wash it.
Blow it, wash it, fuck it.
I know. So, oh yeah, that's my what the fuck.
What the fuck?
Before we get into it, here's a few words from Book of Lies podcast.
Hi, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandi Fleets.
And we're from Book of Lies, the podcast, where we discuss liars, cheats, and thieves,
scammers, and dirty, rotten scoundrels.
You can tune in for new episodes every Tuesday to hear about another low-down, dirty liar.
And learn how to spot them.
So that's Book of Lies podcast. You can connect with us on social media, Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, Facebook, and Instagram at Book of Lies Podcast.
Bye!
So our topic today are our adult children. No, our topic today is... I didn't even do any edibles.
Are you sure?
No, maybe I'm thinking should. I should.
Maybe you should.
Wow.
Oh,
the topic today is adult children. So Amy's going to explain why
you
not having
have
children.
Kids.
Yeah. And Jennifer and I are going to talk about, you know, our giant adult children.
They're giant. They're huge. Everybody.
They are. They're massive children.
Lots of fruits and vegetables.
Yes. Yes. I think the big thing is that I've learned you never stop worrying about your children ever.
Oh, no.
No matter how old they get.
No. And the degree of worry doesn't lessen either. I mean, you're just as worried when they're 20 as you were when they were 6 months old and you cut their
Okay, but what about like when they're like, both of you have children who've are moved on and kind of start their, like 20 is a little bit different, right? I feel like 20, like they're still figuring themselves out. But you guys have kids who are a little bit older and, you know, settled, and you feel like you still worry about them just as much as you did when they were 20?
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting. This is why you shouldn't have kids.
It's constant. It's like for the rest of your life, you're just stressed out.
See, okay. So why? Why do you guys do this? Like, why? I don't understand.
It's the greatest
people.
Gift in the world, and it's the best job I've ever had.
Are you asking why do we have kids?
Yes.
Mom and Dad, you should ask them why they had you.
Oh. Well, because they were aiming for perfection
three times. Amy, that was good. That was a good answer.
You don't think I've said that often?
That was very fast.
I don't get it. And not that we have to make this episode about why would you have kids. I just don't get it. Like, I don't get the reward for it. I understand. Yeah, you love them. That's great. But, like, all of the misery that goes along with it, like, that's a lot of work and, like, worry and stress and sleepless nights. And, well, Amy, there's a lot.
You worry. Yes. About everyone in our family, whether or not you have children, you do the same thing, but with all of us.
I know, and I'm pissed about it all the time.
So I don't know.
Can you even imagine?
I'm not even sure.
Well, you know, the other thing is, I think I forgot it.
You did do
it. Take an edible. Just take an edible.
I did it. I didn't.
I did it. I didn't.
I did not take anything.
It's just leftover from yesterday. Still.
One, they're good tax deductions.
Edibles?
Oh, okay.
No, children. Oh. So that helps.
Okay.
But to me, it's like I was born to be a mother. And I knew it from a very young age. And I can't even imagine not having my kid. I can't even.
Right. Well, and I'm assuming if I had taken a different route and had a kid, I think that I would feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that I'd be like, oh, my God, this thing is amazing. And like, I would never do anything else or make a different decision. It's just. Mm-hmm.
I did not go into the situation intentionally wanting children.
Right.
I was kind of where you are, I guess, where I was like, I don't see the point. I was still kind of living my life. And then I became pregnant with my first child, and it was a surprise. And, but the immediate, like the moment I found out I was pregnant with him,
yeah,
I was a changed person. I mean, I was madly in love with this person mm-hmm. inside me. And, honestly, it changed my entire life. In the situation I was in too, overseas, that pregnancy, yeah. I feel like that saved my life. And I mm-hmm. he saved my life, that boy. And then once I had him, I did want him to have a sibling. So I did intentionally want to have another child. It didn't work out immediately. And then it ended up happening when I wasn't, I figured, okay, that, you know, I'll just have my son and that's fine. And then I did end up getting pregnant with my daughter. But yeah, it's almost like the instinct just kicks in like a motherfucker. Usually for most women, some women, that's not the case. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah. That's
fine. Yeah. It's just,
oh yeah, I'm fine with it.
Oh yeah, my own daughter has already said she feels the same way as you. She sees no reason. Mm-hmm. She just wants dogs.
Yeah,
yeah. And when I see her, I try and talk her out of it all the time.
I congratulate her and give her a high five.
So because I think the as many babies in around me, the better. That's how I feel. But I can tell you, like, my oldest son was talking to me on Tuesday about a fight we had when he was a sophomore in college, and not like to upset me or anything. We were talking about something and it came up, and I began sobbing because that's how I am. Rethinking about like my behavior, because I was like, well, what did I say? What did I do? And that's when he told me, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I had prided myself on being a great mom, but then he showed me this in this moment, and I must have very selective memory or something.
We all do. Yeah.
And so I started asking him questions about it, and I don't have a memory of it at all. And he went on to explain like what happened and all that, and I was wrecked because I thought, you should have been better, Lisa. You should have done better. you know? Mm-hmm. And then he called me up on the way home. And I think he, because he felt bad that I felt bad. And he was like, but, you know, this happened right after. And, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. trying to show, like, you got to see who you are. And now I'm blessed because, one, we're really close. And I'm, you know, close with his wife. And I spend a lot of time with my grandchild. And it's like, it just got better. You know, I added a daughter-in-law. I've added a grandchild. And it's
right.
more blessings.
Right.
Now,
but more worry.
And we're different right. types of moms, I think. Like,
yes.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the thing is, I agree, though, Jen, we are different types of parents. Like, I don't know how to totally explain it. I was very much like involved. I'm not, see, that makes it seem like you weren't involved. But like, I had all their passwords. I had all their, you know, I was like super like in your face, mom. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hey,
there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Right.
You know, and it probably caused issues. And well, I know it caused issues. Not probably. But I wouldn't have parented any other way. Part of it was I parented in some ways how mom and dad did.
Right.
And I was very strict.
And I didn't even give my kids curfews. I never gave them curfews. But they never came home at 2 a.m. either. I mean, I never told right. them what they could and couldn't do, but they, I don't know what happened. Just by accident, they turned out awesome, I guess.
Well, I think
I just got lucky. Yeah,
we can't figure out.
I think
how.
A big thing with me was because I got pregnant at 18, my goal was just to get my oldest, especially who I was the one pregnant with, to get him past 18 without getting anyone pregnant. Like that was a big.
Right. Oh, I'm sure. Like, yeah.
So, you know, right before high school yeah. started, I bought condoms for him and I got a banana and I showed him how to put them on. I went through everything and I kept my house stocked with condoms for my kids. And I didn't ask questions. I don't know what the box, I just kept putting new ones in an area and whatever happened, happened. My thing was just don't get anyone pregnant. Like, and the fact that they didn't, I was like, woo!
Success.
I got them past 18. Like,
mom of the year.
I can tell you those condom demonstrations, they hated.
I bet.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But I don't regret it.
Now, as far as like having adult children, do you like feel still with your children like that whole disciplinarian role still? Or is that kind of like subsided? Like you don't need to do that? Do you ever feel like you should?
No.
Like if they say something or no. At what age do you think that stopped?
Probably when he got seriously involved with the woman he married. And I was like, it's your job now, sweetheart.
Time to train him.
Good
well,
luck with
the
that.
The thing is, like, my oldest was, well, both my boys were well trained because I was determined that they wouldn't turn out like their fathers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I right. was very much like, raise like they're the seat is always down when they're done in a bathroom and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And how to treat a woman,
well, a single mother,
you yeah. know, how to treat a woman. And you can open a door for a woman without making her not have power, you know?
Right.
So they open doors and like every time I'm getting into my son's car, he's holding the door for me. Even if his wife's there, he's holding two doors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, like they had the baby and I had to start biting my tongue because, you know, I was like, oh, I don't know if you're doing right, it right.
Like trying to tell them how to raise the baby. Right, 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 right. All right. That's interesting. I was just wondering.
Why do you feel like you have to discipline?
I didn't discipline them, though. I mean, the kids remember.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, and it sounds like I spoiled my kid. I didn't. They were so fucking good and they were just calm and mellow children and they never caused any issues for me. And I didn't, they remember one time that I put them in timeout because they were fighting with each other. Mm-hmm. And I made them go into timeout, and they told me that like I couldn't even stand it. Like after like a couple minutes, I was like, all right, come out. Like it was too much for me. Like I couldn't even, you know. So no, but I do find that my daughter, my adult daughter, she has taken on the mother role.
Yes, she has.
Yes, she is.
She mothers me and anybody
She's
else.
She's mothered
she can.
You for years.
Yeah. And it makes me sound like I'm incapable and she feels like she need. I mean, I have raised my children without issue, but she's just a different type of person than me. And which is a great thing because, you know, and they both, thank God, like, you know, they're on top of their shit and they, you know, they get shit done and she's very organized and she's very careful and she, you know, she's very rigid and a bit of a perfectionist.
She's very Aunt Lisa.
Yes. Very Aunt Lisa. Yay.
Wait till she starts doing
no, she's
what
a
the
sweetheart.
Fuck I mean, all over the city.
So I will step in.
I told her we need to have her on the show.
Yeah.
What's that, Aim?
I said I will step in before that happens.
I think it's hard, like, especially when your adult children are away at college and like they get sick or I remember my oldest calling me sounding like hell. And I'm like, why didn't you go? Are you going to the student center? Are you going to see a doctor or whatever? And he's, I'm too busy. And I'm like, do I have to come down? Like, yeah, I will come down there. You don't know. Or like he had to have surgery on his deviated septum. So I took him from surgery to a hotel to like rest up and I could take care of him. And then I brought him back to the house. He shared with all these guys and it was disgusting.
Yeah.
So I made all the guys start cleaning because he was just back from surgery, you know, and I didn't want him getting sick. So I was like, okay, you start in there. Clean this bathroom up. I cleaned his room. Like, I was like, I'm not leaving him here with you people in this condition. And he was 21.
Which at that point, both of you guys were 21, married and adults living your own life. And here you are sitting there making his roommates clean up after him or clean up after themselves.
Yeah,
so that-
like they lived like boys and I was like, this is unacceptable, right. You know, because I'm very neat. My house is always very clean. And I was like, he just came off of surgery. I can't leave him in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
But like, I always worry like, or now like they have a baby and there's this coronavirus is going around. I worry about that. And, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you have to, and so now, like, there's added people. Like, there's his wife.
There's more people to worry about.
His wife and the baby. And I'm just like, whoa.
This is why you don't have kids.
Now, Amy, as where you are in life, because let's say, how many other women in your life that you know around your age have not had kids?
I know a few.
Do you?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, like, is it a common thing now? Is it that becoming
it's
more
not-
and more common?
It's becoming way more common. Yeah. So when I first kind of came out in my way of sitting there and saying, but seriously, like you know, I divorced someone because of the kid aspect. Mm-hmm. So I was making a very clear statement of my feelings about the whole thing. And it was very unheard of. I got constantly questioned. I was constantly asked like, oh yeah, you're going to change your mind or, oh yeah, you just think that now, just wait, you know, that kind of thing. Nobody took it seriously and everybody just kind of blew it off. And I feel I'm so happy now as to how many women can sit, like women can now sit there and say, I don't want kids. And it's not questioned.
They're not shamed as much.
As far as I can see. They're not shamed as much. And this was only, 20 years ago that this was all going down. So I'm so happy now that women can sit there and make that decision and be clear about it and not have people sit there and second guess them and tell them that they're wrong or that they're going to change their mind or, oh, just wait, you'll love them when he gets there. Well, we shouldn't have to sit there and take that chance.
No.
Kids are not a compromise.
Or an accessory.
No. You either want them or you don't. Right. And I mean, I do have friends that were kind of on the fence about it. And they were kind of like, well, you know, if I have them, I have them. If I don't. And I do feel bad for people who are on the fence because that's a big decision to not feel clear about it one way or the other. Now, everyone who felt that way and went whatever way, you know, whatever direction they went, they were fine with it. And everything's good. But that's a big decision to sit there and those are the people I feel bad for because I feel like that's a life changer. And to not feel confident in what you should do, that's hard. That is really difficult.
Yeah.
And so, but for people who are confident that they don't want kids, it's so much easier now than it was as far as like not getting questioned all the time.
And I totally agree with you about the coming out thing because it is brave to sit there and say, I don't as a woman, because people do judge it. Men can go around and say, I don't want kids. And nobody thinks twice about it. A woman says, I don't want kids. Right. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, look at Clooney. How long he went was like, no, I should never have children. I'm never getting married.
Yeah.
He meets the right woman. He gets married. He has kids. And it's changed his life, but no one said a fucking word. But with female actresses, it's like when they get married and it's like, when are you having kids? Like Jennifer Aniston.
When are you having kids?
Jennifer Aniston was like, every time she changed husbands, it was like, when are you having kids? When are you having kids? When are you having, it's like.
And I applaud the women that have the bravery to say, I don't want children, because you know what they're doing? The world a fucking favor. That's what they're doing because they're not bringing children into an environment where they weren't wanted and being treated like shit and then growing up to be assholes.
Right.
Right.
Or not assholes, but you know what I mean? Or something.
And I'd have to talk about them in the what.
And then they'd be the subject of the what the fuck. Because, I think it's brave of women to come out and say, I don't want kids. I'm not going to be, I don't feel like I want to be a mother. That's not what I want to be.
And the thing is, that doesn't mean that they don't have that maternal or what. It's not necessarily maternal. Right. Like I've seen Amy with our kids. And now with my grandchild. And it's like, it's not like she's like holding up cold water, like get away, Rugrat, get away. You know, she's wonderful with them.
Right. No,
honestly,
I mean, I've always been very close to all of my nieces and nephews and we have kind of felt as like their second parent in a sense, or third, I guess I should say.
Second.
And you bring a dynamic that I think is extremely beneficial to our children. Because they have this person who is maternal and who does love them and who takes care of them and pays attention to them, but is not a parent.
Right.
And who can relate to them and who they feel like they're comfortable talking to. That's huge.
Well, and that's what I always wanted to be. I always wanted to be that person. And I would reach out to, I think, all of your children and tell them on the side without you guys around, hey, if something's going down and you need to talk to someone that's not your parent, I'm here and you can come to me and I won't question. And I, you know, like this is the unjudging free zone where I won't, you know, you're not going to get in trouble if you come to me, if you're in trouble. But I also really feel strongly about the fact that I wanted my nieces to be able to sit there and make a decision for themselves about whether or not they wanted to have kids. I wanted them to sit there and see a role model of someone who didn't have kids and was happy about it. And so they didn't feel like they had to go and do that and live that life where it was just expected.
Right. Very good point.
And I know like with my son, because you guys were closer in age.
Yeah.
You're like a sister and you guys used to rip into each other all the time.
Yes.
And you still have that relationship
with him. Well, because finally Because finally I had someone younger than me to pick on. It was awesome.
I have videotapes of her like, yes, you will do this.
Mom used to get so mad at me because she'd be like, Amy, you are the aunt. And I was, and she's was like 11 I know, years younger than 11. Me. And I, so I was like 13. And I was like, come on. I am so taking advantage of finally having someone I can pick on.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think we've all, like, I know with me, there was a time I was having Jennifer's daughter in the summer for something. Were you, do you remember? Like, I would have her, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to, there was something I had to do or work. And she, I didn't have some. Oh, yes, I do. My son had football practice. He had like 2-a-days.
Yeah.
And there was no one to watch my daughter. And I had to go to work. So I'd bring her to your house.
Right. So she would be there and we'd be like playing games. And I didn't have a daughter, you know. So my nieces to me are like my daughters. And so we'd be playing a game. And at one point she's like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, high five.
Oh, that's lovely.
Because the thing is, like, I act like I'm 12 anyway. So I think that's sort of what makes me a cool aunt.
We all act like we're 12 except Amy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But she, you know, but Amy's right. Like, she always made the kids aware that she was there to talk.
Mm-hmm. Always. Always.
You know, and I think that they need that. You know, they need someone that they trust that's not, you know, mom or dad.
Right. Another adult that they can turn to because their friends don't know what's right.
Right.
So they have someone else that they can turn to that, yeah, they feel like they have their best interest, but it's they're not going to get, like, grounded
right.
for it.
Like, they can run it by someone and be like, okay, like, this happened.
Right.
You know, and trust that Amy's not going to come to us. Just like I don't wouldn't come to you, like Jennifer or our brother. Right. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, if it was something dangerous, of course, like they were going to walk over a live volcano or whatever, I'd be like, Jen, you need to know this about your son right now.
How does one walk over a live volcano?
I don't know. Some guy just did it.
Really?
Yeah, that Nick Walenda guy or whatever.
How does he walk on air, though?
How do you walk over a live volcano?
On a tightrope?
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. You probably should have put that in at the beginning of the story.
Oh. Okay, so if Jennifer's kid was going to go over a volcano on a tightrope, I would probably tell her.
Yeah. Now it makes sense.
Now, Jen, do you think, like, once your oldest has kids, like, do you think it's going to change how you feel as a parent of an adult child?
Do you mean I want to be more involved? And it's not that I don't want to be involved. I've just have always just left my children to do their thing, and they've been just very independent. I mean, my daughter and I mean, we're all super close. It's not like it affected anything like that. I just never really kind of governed their lives, I guess. I kind of just trusted them. I kind of showed them, you know, instead of told them. I don't know if that makes any sense. But I mean, I think it's going to be adorable and wonderful to have a grandchild. I think that's going to be awesome. I'm not the type of person that needs to be there when the child is born. I will, you know,
hey,
I'll go.
Hey.
Oh, no, I wasn't meaning that as an attack. I know a lot of women feel like that. I just don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just not that. That's.
Yeah. I pretty much everyone questioned me like. Seriously, you're going to stay at a hospital for 400 hours, you know?
Lisa, I've heard about other mothers doing that. I mean, I know that people do that. That's why I feel so weird about saying that I don't feel a need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see the baby and I will love the baby and everything, but I don't, I don't know. And I know that his wife's mother is very much like that and she will be very much involved and that's good because his wife will need that. And you know what I mean? That'll be very helpful for her and that's how it should be.
Well, I think we've proven that no matter what.
You shouldn't have kids.
No. Well, if that's your choice,
Okay, wait. So wait, before you end it, though, I have one thing that I noticed, and this will probably talk to both the parents and the non-parents out there. So when I went to LA, And everybody, like you guys and my friends who had kids, would visit and would. And I had a lot of visitors in that 14-month period of time. the biggest thing that people walked away from, or the women walked away from, when I said, like, what was your favorite part of the weekend? It was always the fact that I could lay in bed in the mornings and not have someone scream for me.
Yeah.
Every single mother said that to me, was that was their like luxury, was that they could lay in bed and not have a child being like, mommy, I need this at 6 a.m. Hearing that over and over again made me sit there and be so grateful for my mornings when I don't have a child screaming out for me to get their breakfast or whatever they scream out for. And so I just wanted to kind of, that was my one thing. That was my biggest, that was such a huge takeaway for me from that whole year, that like, I was like, I am so grateful I don't have a child screaming for me at 6 a.m. because all of these people just went on a vacation and all they could think about was the fact that they didn't, they could actually like lay in bed in peace. That was like the biggest gift to them. And to me, that's so simple. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, but then they turn into teenagers and you can't get them out of that.
Not my kids. Jesus.
Really?
Fucking these children, honestly. Crack of dawn.
Who are they?
Yeah, I don't know. Ready to go, doing their homework before it was fucking due. I mean, what the hell? I'd come home and they'd be doing homework. And I'm like, you just walked in the door. I just want to get it done. I need to get it done right now. And I'm like, do you not know I am the procrastinator? And you are my children.
Well, my kids.
When is it due?
My kids did that too. But I was like, homework always comes first. And I'd come home and they'd be doing their homework.
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
So I think we learned whether you are going to be a parent or aren't going to be a parent. It's your choice. And there's no shame in it.
There's plenty of children out there. If you don't want to have them, don't.
No.
There's enough
and
of them.
And a lot of them are shit.
As Lisa knows.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I see them all over the place. But thank you for joining us, everyone. You can reach us at mamanevertoldus@gmail.com if you want to email us. Or to get all of our social media contacts, you can reach us at linktr.ee. / Mama Never Told Us. So have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.